You know, I always used to think prayer was preparation for the battle that I'm about to go in, only to discover that prayer is actually the battle. Many times we fail in whatever it is we're going through, not because we didn't plan well, but we didn't pray it through. And we've been talking about spiritual battles. We've been talking about what do you do when you go through difficult seasons. And we're in the middle of a series called Armed and Dangerous. You know, I just liked the title because, you know, when you get the armor of God, when you understand what Jesus has equipped us with, and you understand who you are in Christ, then nothing can stop you. You know, the enemy can't have his way, but there's nothing dangerous necessarily about us in the physical realm, in the flesh. You know, the enemy doesn't flinch at that. But when we walk in the promises of God, then the enemy can't hang out with that. The enemy cannot handle the truth. And when you have the truth of the Word of God in your life, that changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, it may not go exactly the way you planned, but I don't know about you, when I eventually just trust in the Lord and I do it His way, He has never let me down, He has never failed me, He has never forsaken me. But I will say this, a lot of times His outcome looks way different than mine. How about you? Does that ever happen? And here's the thing I've discovered. His outcome is usually 10 times better than what I could have ever come up with. I just have to be willing to surrender that and trust Him. Now, the reality is we're going to face battles. We're going to go through seasons in life. We're going to have difficulties. The Bible's very clear about that. In this world, you have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, He says, because I've overcome the world. And He says, and I give you the armor of God. We've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to reference a couple other scriptures you'll see in your outline, but we're just still continuing with Ephesians chapter 6, going through the armor of God, because these battles are real. Can we agree? Okay. Take a look at this picture. I'm going to throw a picture up there for you. Now, this is a spoon that is in a glass of water. This spoon looks huge, doesn't it? I mean, it just looks gigantic, but go ahead and throw the other picture up. This is actually the size of it. And it looks different because of the environment that it's in. See, what happens is this. Light comes through the glass, and when it comes through the glass, it makes the silverware look like it's bent, like it's bigger than it really is. It looks different because of a process that we call refraction. Now, if you paid attention in school, which I didn't, so I had to go refresh myself, on what refraction was all about. Refraction's when light hits something that's in water. And it creates a sort of distortion, and that distortion is called refraction. And the spoon, you know, kind of looks bent, doesn't it? It looks just odd. It looks weird. The spoon is just fine. It's not actually bent, but it appears to be bent because of the environment it's in. We live in a world of refraction. In our world today, we live in a world that can make things that look straight, but they're actually bent, or things that are bent that actually, you know, could be straight. Things get all discombobled because of the environment that we're in. And we've got to make sure that we understand that, you know, what is going to be our level, our common ground? What is going to be our foundation? Because in this world, when you have trials and tribulations, you can be of good cheer because God's overcome the world, but that's assuming that we're going to Him. That's assuming that we're making Him our foundation. And so He says, I've got this armor that I want to give to you, because in this world, things are going to look one way when they might actually be another. You know what I mean? I've got so many topics I would like to launch off into right there, but I got to be careful because I don't want to get on a soapbox. But I still remember what it was like to do the Pledge of Allegiance in school. I still remember what it was like to have prayer in school. And I'm going to kind of stop right there, but you can kind of tell what I'm talking about. You know, I don't want to get all political. My point is simply this. In this world, things will get twisted and turned. Chaos will ensue, but there's one thing that never changes, and that's the Word of God. The enemy will come in, and he will try to distort the image of what God has originally created you to be. And you and I have to decide and have the wherewithal to know the difference between the two, and then not just know the difference, but then choose what it is that's right. And that's why He gives us the armor of God. We talked about the first three pieces that you're supposed to have all the time: truth, righteousness, and peace. He said, put on the belt of truth, Put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is a mouthful right there. But all he's saying is you start with truth. And then based on truth, you move to righteousness, which is doing that which is right based on the truth that you know. Then you don't just look for peace. You become a person that's my location. I'm going to be that peaceful person. Does that mean you're always going to be at peace? No, you'll have those days. But you can experience that and be that kind of a person because of the truth and the righteousness. And then he says, those three right there, you're supposed to have all the time. He says, then the next three you take up. You take up the shield, you take up the helmet, and you take up the sword as needed. Now, how many of you know there's going to be times where you're going to need it? He didn't say you have to always walk around, you know, in your full gear. It wouldn't hurt because this world, you never know what's around the corner. But he says you take up the shield of faith is what we're going to talk about today as you need that. And we're going to have to know the difference and know when to pick that up and know when to walk that out in your life and in my life, because we never know what's coming. But we do know this. Something's coming. There's always something around the corner. And he says, I've given you the armor of God so that you can walk through whatever situation you're going through. Maybe you got a health issue you're dealing with. The doctor gave you some bad news. The bank has told you something you didn't want to hear. Your idea of comfortable living and your bank account's idea of comfortable living don't match, and you're trying to figure out what to do. There's relationship issues, and it can go on and on and on. And we've got to have a firm foundation and know what it means to continue in those moments, walk in truth, righteousness, peace. But when the enemy comes and starts to attack you, that's when you take up the shield, the sword, and the helmet. We're going to start with the shield today, and I'm going to give you four things about this shield of faith, what it means. Because like last week, we talked about shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I never understood that, you know. What does that mean? And we learned last week what that meant. And today when he says take up the shield of faith, we're going to learn what he means by that, because the question remains, how do I access all of this? If I know that God has given me the armor, if I know that God is for me and not against me, how do I access all of this? So he says right in verse 16, it's the next piece, in addition to all, that's important, in addition to truth, righteousness, and peace, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Some translations say, all the flaming arrows. Some of them will say the flaming darts. It's the same thing. If something is pointy and on fire and heading my direction, that is not good. Can we all agree on that? No matter what you call it. He says, when the enemy comes in like that and starts to attack you, he says, take up the shield of faith. Now, I want to clarify a little bit today what faith is, because too many times I find that we have misdefinitions of faith and we misunderstand faith sometimes, but yet it's crucial because he said, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith. He said, this is the key. That the shield of faith is just that. It's your faith. It's your faith in God. It's your faith. You're trusting him. He says, this is the key. Faith. Take up the shield of faith. Now notice it's a verb, okay? It's an action word. It's not just know what the shield of faith is. He says, take it. You actually have to physically grab it. I use the analogy way too much, but it paints the picture. A baseball player has a uniform all throughout the game. But when it's time for bat, he takes up the bat. When it's time to take the field, he takes his glove when he needs it. And you and I, when we enter into areas where it's a spiritual battle, where we have those times when it's like, man, I just feel like I'm under attack. I feel like I'm trying to do everything right, but yet everything just seems like the wheels are falling off. What do I do? You take up the shield of faith. And what is that going to do for me then, Pastor? Well, here's a few things I want you to notice. That when it comes to taking up the shield of faith, number one, write this down. God won't take it up for you. It's your responsibility. When he talks about the shield of faith, he says, it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to take up that shield of faith. In other words, though God is our Savior, he says, I want you to cooperate with me and place your faith completely in me, but you've got to do that. And the moment you do that, I've got the rest covered. But you've got to take that up. He calls it a shield of faith so that we could better understand what that looks like. Back in the day, Roman soldiers had shields, but their shields were different than what we think of. Whenever I think of a Roman soldier, I think of the tiny little, like the Crusaders and all that, and they got that pretty little, you know, it just looks neat, and it, you know, they hold it in their arm and they fight with the other, and they did do that. But the shield that they typically had was more like of a, think of a SWAT team. When they go in, they got a shield that's about as tall as they are, right? A typical Roman shield was about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet long or high, okay? So that's a big shield. And in my head, I'm like, how can they do battle and run with a shield that size? And what's it made of? And I was kind of just snooping around. Now, mind you, I wasn't alive back then, so I'm basing all of this off of just looking and getting some studying in there. They were shields that were really tall and really wide. They were made of wood, and then they would wrap them in leather. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But there was a reason for all of that. And these shields were just ginormous, and it was covering most of their body. Here's why. They didn't walk around with that big shield all day long just in case they might get attacked. You know what I mean? You wouldn't find them out at Applebee's holding their shield while they're eating pasta with the other hand. You know, you're not gonna see that. When did they take up their shield? When they knew that there was a threat. When they knew that there was resistance. Somebody was coming after them. They may not know who it is. They might not know why it's happening. All they know is, I'm under attack. You know what I'm talking about? You ever felt those days? You know, whether it be physically or spiritually, you know. And what they would do is that, you know, an alarm would sound, whatever it is they did, and everybody would go take up their shield. And then they would all get together. And the reason it was so big is because they would go out. And then when the enemy would come at them, because they would shoot arrows, when they see the enemy coming and shooting that, they would squat down in this position because it's 4 foot high. Now they're protected. The width, the height, and they'd wait till they could advance. And when you had all of the soldiers lined up, a lot of times what they'd do is they'd go shield to shield to shield, and they just make a wall is what they would do, and they would all stand behind that. And when the arrows stopped flying for a minute, maybe they had to reload or something, then they would advance on that, and they would keep on moving. But they had to take that shield up. There was nobody in the army that came along and said, hey, everyone got their shield, let me give them to you. No, you took up your shield because when you're under attack, the enemy's not going to wait, is he? No, he's not going to wait. He's coming at you hard. He's coming at you strong. And you have to take that up. Now, the shield, the reason he uses the word shield is because that shield was big enough that it protected the whole person. What's my point? My point is when you take up the shield of faith, when you're going through a spiritual battle, you need to know that it covers you completely. It covers every aspect of your life. When you place your faith in Christ and you say, God, I'm going through a battle. I'm going through a season. I'm going through a fill in the blank. You take up, based on truth, righteousness, and peace, you take up that shield of faith. And you say, God, my feet say this, but my faith says this. Or you may say, my mind says this, but my faith says this. And then you've got to make a decision. You got to decide who you're going to listen to, right? I would love to tell you I listen to God every time. But there's sometimes I listen to my feet. It was an uncomfortable situation, and I walk away. But here's the thing. I can walk away from that, but guess what's going to be waiting for me a week later, a month later, a year later? There's always going to be battles. He says, when you go through them, take up the shield of faith and know that God's not going to take it up for you. It's our responsibility. So when do we take this up? Well, this is very crucial, and he says it right in the scripture. In the evil day. In the evil day, take up the shield of faith. What does that mean, an evil day? It means this: when all hell is breaking loose in your life, when the wheels are coming off, when there's nothing that you can foresee that you've done to bring this on and it's a consequence, so I must be going through some kind of a battle and I don't know what to do about it and I can't change it, that's when you take up your shield of faith. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe it's the health issue. Maybe it's finances. On that evil day, when you're going through a difficult situation, he says, take up that shield of faith. Space capsules, when they are in space and they come back to Earth and they start to enter into Earth's atmosphere, when they re-enter, they would burn up. except for the fact that whoever the brilliant minds are of NASA created a shield, if you will. They had built into that space capsule something that would protect that space capsule as it re-enters into life, into Earth's atmosphere. Otherwise, it would burn up. So that shield, that covering that they build in there keeps them from burning up. On that evil day, when you feel like you're entering into a new atmosphere and it feels like things are just going to burn up, here's the question. Where am I going to place my faith? Where am I going to place my faith? What is faith? Faith is simply this. It's acting on the truth that you know, or that comes from the Word of God. Faith is acting on the truth that you now know because it's God's truth. If you don't know the truth or act on the truth, the word faith will be meaningless in our life because it's just talk. Because faith is acting on truth. So, if you don't care about God's view on a matter, and I'm just talking now, okay? But if you don't care about God's view on a matter, forget having a discussion about faith, because faith is only faith when it's tethered to truth. See, faith can't be faith if it's not tethered to the truth of God, because that's what defines it. It's when we act upon faith. We act upon the truth that we know. Faith is simply this, and I think I put it in your bulletin there. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. That's what faith is. It's acting like God is telling the truth. Now you might say, well, Pastor, he is telling the truth. Yes, I know that, and I believe that. But I know there's times when God's spoken to me and said, I want you to do this. And I said, I don't want to do that. Hey, have you ever been there? God speaks to you, and you try to get all spiritual, you know, get thee behind me. That couldn't have been God. That was just my way of trying to avoid it, but yet it was truth. I have to know the difference, and then I have to act upon that. A lot of people are talking about faith without connecting it to truth. And then they're wondering why their faith isn't working. It's because it has to be connected to truth. Otherwise, you end up just going around and around and around. Faith is not based, by the way, on how you feel, is it? No. It's a choice that we have to make. Feelings are circumstantially driven. You feel based, if your faith was based on how you feel, that means when you have a good day, your faith's good. But when you have a bad day, your faith's bad. I am so thankful that my faith is not based on my feelings. How about you? It's a good thing to be able to know that we choose to place our faith in God. So I'm not saying feelings should be ignored. Feelings are good. God gives those to us as a gift. But feelings have to be taken out of the definition of faith, even though feelings may be consistent with what's going on at that point. Faith is acting on truth. Whether it, you know, we just, the environment of this world is going to lead us into an environment where we got to know what truth is. Have you ever watched a scary movie, a suspenseful movie? Have you ever had a situation or a season that, you know, the movie itself, it got intense and you didn't know what, you know what I'm talking about? Let me see. I think we got a little sound bite. Go ahead and play that and let's see if you can help me identify this movie. You got it? Yeah. It's coming. You ever feel like this in your life? How many of you know the movie? Raise your hand. How many don't have it yet? Okay. All right. It's coming from the movie Jaws, right? That suspenseful movie. Have you ever had days where you just, by no fault of your own necessarily, you just woke up and went, oh, good morning, Jesus. And all you heard was, dun-dun, dun-dun. And you're like, Jesus? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, Jesus! You haven't even got your foot out of the bed. And you have those days. You know what I'm talking about? Those are the days when you need to know what faith is and how to pick up your shield. Because he said that though there's going to be troubles, though there'll be tests, the enemy is going to try to take you out just simply because you're a child of God. And he does not like you. And so you need to know how to take this up. I watched a movie one day. I think it was Jaws, I think. And because that intense, you're like, I know the shark's coming. I know it's coming. Just come on, get it over with already. You know, you're at the edge of your seat. And I got to remember, I was all of, I don't know, maybe 13 or something. you know, and then I didn't want to go swimming for like a year. Fun side note, I saw on online somewhere, there's a movie theater by a lake, and you can go out in a float at night and watch Jaws on the big screen. Heck no. I'm not dangling my feet down in that water for nothing. What was I talking about? Faith, Jaws, here we go. I was going to say something really good too, and profound, I'm sure it was. But faith is one of those things that when I watched this movie, I shut the volume off. One time I thought, I don't think it's really the movie that's scary. I don't. I think it's the buildup and the anticipation and the music. So I thought, I'm going to watch Jaws, this part, without the sound. And I watched it, and I'm like, that's all it is? Basically, you see a guy on a boat, and eventually a fish comes out and goes, and that was it. And it wasn't scary at all. I mean, it's still pretty scary if you got ate by a fish, but, you know, the anticipation wasn't there, the drama wasn't there, the intensity wasn't there, because I turned the volume off. The enemy is going to try to do everything to keep your volume up. The environment of your world, the surroundings that you're in, he's going to try to keep this scenario where you become suspenseful, you know, you're anxious, you're worried, you're scared. God knows what's going on. He's got this covered. All he says is turn the volume off. Don't listen to the world, because the world's going to refract my truth. He'll speak to you and say, I want you to know my truth, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. He'll deposit that into our hearts and into our lives. Peter had to make this decision. I'll just make a quick reference here. But Peter, remember when he was fishing? He'd been out fishing for years, and this particular day he didn't catch much. And he's coming back in, and he sees, you know, Jesus is on the side. You know, hey, have you caught anything? No, I didn't catch anything. Go back out, he says. Throw your net on the other side. At that moment, Peter had to make a decision. Do I place my faith in Jesus or in my experience as a fisherman? And we all know the story. He went back out there. He caught a boatload of fish, and the nets were ripping, and it had nothing to do with the story wasn't about the fish. The story wasn't about the boat. The story was about faith. It was about, where is Peter going to place his faith? Now, obviously, we're like, yeah, Peter did a great job. Or even if Peter, when he made mistakes, we can look at Peter easily and say, you know, what was Peter thinking? Well, he's probably thinking the same thing you're thinking right now when God speaks to you. And you're going, do I listen to God, or do I listen to myself? And whatever you choose will determine the outcome. It said there in Luke 5:5, Simon answered, said, Master, we've worked hard all night, caught nothing, but here's the catch. But I will do as you say. I will do as you say, and I will let down the nets. I go back to that movie, Princess Bride? As You Wish. Remember that? Sometimes Jesus is just going to show up, and he's going to say, do this, give here, serve there. And you can either say, I don't want to do that, or you can say, as you wish. As you say, I'll do whatever. You want to know if your faith is growing? Are you serving? Are you giving? You want to know if your faith is growing when God speaks to you? Do you not just hear him, but do you do something with what you've heard? That's how you know if you're growing in your faith. Peter could have said, Jesus, I've been out all night. How about this? I got an idea. You stick to preaching, I'll stick to fishing. All right? Doesn't that sound like a lot of people that we know and how they talk and how we feel? I've got this. I know it. I know. We say that all the time. But do we really? Faith is something that builds us up. And Peter obviously made the decision, and he made the right decision because he knew something, and that was this. God is not going to take up that faith for you. That's your responsibility. Peter did it. You and I can do it too. Number two, here's the other thing about the shield of faith. Faith does not make God move. I want to explain this, because at first you're like, oh, well, wait a minute. I thought if I place my faith in God, then he would move mountains. Yes, he will. But I want to emphasize one specific word. Faith does not make, okay? It doesn't make him move. You know, like when you're kids and you're trying to, you know, brother's trying to make a sister do something that they shouldn't, kind of a thing. I still remember this day. Seth somehow got talked into eating a worm by his sister. Jay made me eat a worm. I said, really? You know, now that was pretty gross. It was a worm, wasn't it? Yeah. And it was disgusting. And I mean, of course, Drea got in trouble for feeding her brother a worm, but I was kind of like, Yeah, it's kind of a brother-sister thing, right? I said, but Drea made you eat it? Yeah, she made me eat it. Did she open your mouth, cram the worm in your mouth, make your teeth chop up and down, you know, make you sweat? No, well, no, she didn't do all that. I said, well, then nobody made you. You decided. Now, obviously, I didn't go into a big preaching session at that moment, but you get the whole illustration. Sometimes we think, well, faith, when I say faith does not make God move, what I simply mean is this. You already have all the faith that you need. What you have to do is tap into it, tap into God so that it can be expressed. It can be lived out in your life. You don't need more faith. You need to act upon the faith which you have, because if you live life thinking, I just need a little more faith, then you're always going to be looking for more and more and more. I'm here to tell you today that you have all the faith that you need to overcome every obstacle that you face, even though you can't figure out how to do it. Faith is saying, I'm trusting that God knows. I'm trusting that as I lean into his truth, his righteousness, and the peace, and as I take up that shield, it's not about making God move. As a matter of fact, I know we don't need more faith, because Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a what? Mustard seed. Do you know how big a mustard seed is? They're teeny tiny, like a pepper flake. But yet I go, Jesus, can I just have the whole bottle of mustard seeds? You know, can you go to Costco and buy me a crate of it or something like that? You know, we want to place our faith in how much we can have or own or manage. He says, no, he says, if you just have the faith the size of a mustard seed and you act upon the faith that you have, you'll see it grow. You'll see life that will be a transforming life. So basically what he's saying is this. When it comes to faith, a little dab will do you. Just a little dab. And then act upon that. That's what it means to take up your shield of faith. Place your faith in God, whatever it is you're going through, that God is going to come through. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. But a lot of times when I do it God's way, he's never failed me and never let me down, but he... almost always, the outcome is different than what I planned. Almost always. So faith is a point of access, not a point of power. Power is in what God's already done. He's already accomplished that. Faith is just withdrawing what grace has already put on deposit. So we don't need more faith. Act upon the faith that we have. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Therefore, having been justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means it's okay to receive the blessings of God and want those blessings, but they come as we walk our lives out through faith. I've been guilty, you know, Lord, bless me with this. Bless this, bless that, bless me. And we know what we mean when we say all that, but my blessings are already here. Lord, help me to see what you've already blessed me with. Lord, help me to see where the sweet spot is and know how to lean into that. See, our problem is not that we need more faith. Our problem is learning how to withdraw or draw out that faith we already have in our hearts and in our lives. Grace puts on deposit all God's goodness on your behalf, on my behalf. Faith accesses all those deposits. And the works, you know, when you step it out and you obey, yeah, that's just exhibiting faith. We need faith that has feet, right? Not just faith that says, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that's a good teaching. Yeah, that's good for you. But we need faith that has feet and starts walking it out. And you'll see your faith start to grow. Romans 11:6 says, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. He says it's all about making sure that we understand that grace is free of charge. Walking in faith, picking up that shield, you walk that out in your life. You don't have to always... explain it away. Romans 11:6 is saying, once it's of works, it's no longer peace. It's no longer grace. Once it's of works, it's works, faith, grace. You know, he says, put on the shield called faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 27 says, where then is boasting? Is it excluded? What by what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. He's saying faith is a rule that you're supposed to operate in. This is supposed to be the way that we roll. But you don't use it to get God to move. You can't make him do anything. But you can cooperate with what he's already done. Here's number three. Write this down about the shield of faith. Know this, that when we're talking about faith, we are not only saved by faith, but we are to live by faith as well. We are to live by faith. You've not only been saved by faith, but Romans 1 says that you're to live by it as well. This is supposed to be where you flow. This is your walk in faith. This is your MO, the way that you're supposed to live life. Faith, if you want to be real, cannot be limited to the five senses. They're good. There's nothing wrong with them. But you can't use them to define what faith is. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, let's put it up there and let's read that one together. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, it's in your outlines, you can look there. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. He's saying, don't wait to see it before you believe it. Place your faith in the things that you can't see that come from God. I believe you all are here today. You know why? Because I see you. Because I see you. But he says, but blessed are you for when you don't see, but yet you believe and you place your faith in God. God can do miraculous things. How do you know that? Well, let me give you the best example I can think of. Here it is. I'm here. I remember me when I was the 16-year-old me. Some of you may remember him too. He was a smart aleck, wasn't he? You know, he thought he knew all the answers. He thought he had it all figured out, but then all of a sudden, somewhere, I remember what it was like to have Jesus call my name at the age of 14 and say, you know, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm calling you into ministry. And I'm like, yes. And then at 16, fast cars and cute girls, they got my attention. And all of a sudden, I started separating myself from God. I started doing what I wanted to do. I started living my life. I started making poor choices. I started making choices that led me down a wrong path, and the wheels were falling off. And it wasn't until I heard Jesus call my name again around the age of 20-something there at the beginning. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to do the last thing I told you to do. I can't go into ministry, God. Do you know all the things I've done? He's like, yeah. But you don't understand. I've done some really stupid things. He's like, I know. But Jesus, how can you use me? I've disqualified myself from being effective for you. And that's where Jesus, in a loving way, brings in correction. Don't ever call yourself disqualified. He says, that's determined by me. And I had to place my faith in something much greater, and that was a challenge. So the fact that I can stand here and do this doesn't mean that I'm better than anybody else. I'm just like you, but I had to make a decision where I was going to place my faith, in God or in myself. And thank God I placed it in God, because it changed who I was. And it opened doors I never thought could be opening. But that was invisible at that moment. I couldn't see it. I couldn't understand. I didn't know what kind of plans God had, but I had to have faith. I had to know in that moment what it meant to take up the shield of faith, which means, here's what it means. And it's kind of a tongue twister, so I actually put it in your outline there. Faith is this: it's acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Think about that. I know your brain just went, Pastor, I'm tired. It's gray out. What did you just say? I'm sure it was good, but you know, here's what faith is. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. So you have to start with that bottom line. What has God said? What has he spoken to you? What is the truth that he's revealed? Because too many of us try to diagnose our own selves. We love God, don't get me wrong, but we're like, I think I know better. And it would be no different than us trying to, being sick, let's say, and then we try to doctor ourselves. You know, we've all been there, right? You ever get sick and then, you know, cold, sinus infection, whatever, you're not feeling good. What do you do? Well, first thing you do is you go to the drugstore and you do the over-the-counter thing, right? And you try to take care of that. But if that doesn't work, then you need to see a doctor. A doctor knows more than you, fingers crossed. And they're going to be able to identify or run some, and here's the word we don't like, tests, so they can identify what's going on with you. So they know how to treat and how to medicate. And then what they do is they write you a prescription, and it's words that you can't read, and they scribble and give it to you, and they say, take it to the pharmacy. Now, if I stop right there, am I going to get better? It's okay, you can answer. No, I'm not going to get better. Okay, what if I take that prescription and I go down to Hy-Vee and I drop it off with the pharmacist and I give it to her? Am I going to get better now? No. Now, I'm putting a lot of faith in this pharmacist. I'm putting my faith in a doctor You know, they know what they have identified it right. Now I'm going to a pharmacist who's going to whip up these drugs that I'm going to take. I'm placing my faith in that. And then they're going to give me a pill bottle. I'm going to take it home and I'm going to set it on my counter. Am I going to get better now with the pill bottle sitting on the counter? No. When is it? Obviously, it's when I take the medicine. It's when I let it get inside of me. Then it does the work that needs to be done. I find this, I'm going to say it, and I'm just saying it. Sometimes we place more faith in a doctor and in a pharmacist than we do God. There's nothing wrong with doctors and pharmacists. If you're here today and you're a doctor, you're a pharmacist, God bless you, and we need you, and we thank you. I'm just trying to draw out the fact that sometimes we have faith more in what man can do than what God can do. That's not faith. Faith is placing, it's acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so simply because God said so. And that comes down to you and me making some decisions. And then lastly, number four, faith, it can handle anything that's thrown your way. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, you know, that really encourages my heart, this morning's message, but you don't understand what I'm going through. You are correct. I don't understand exactly what you're going through. But I'm here to tell you that the Word of God says that no matter what it is you're going through, and no matter how you've defined it in your parameters, God said, I got it. But God, you don't understand. This is so hard and this is so difficult. He says, my grace is sufficient. But you don't understand. There's no money in the bank. The doctor said, the whoever, the accountant said, the lawyer said. Well, the real question God wants to know is do you, what about what I say, what God says? Because that's what makes all the difference in the world. And faith can handle anything that's thrown your way. Let me bring you back to the shield, the Roman soldier. I told you it was made of wood, and then they put leather on it. And here's what they'd do. They'd dunk it in water, and they'd let that leather absorb, take up all the water. Why? Because when they went out to do battle, the enemy would shoot arrows at them. But that's why if we go back to the scripture, verse 16 says, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows. You and I both know that, whether it's from history lessons or stories we've seen, sometimes what they do is they dip their arrow in pitch or tar or whatever's flammable that way, and they light it on fire, and then they would draw that arrow back and let it fly. And they knew that those fiery darts, literal fiery darts, were coming at them, and so they'd soak those shields because they knew that when they got behind it and that dart hit that wet leather, psh, it went out. It extinguished the flame that was coming its way. Now, it's still pointy. It's still dangerous. It's still deadly. But I don't know about you, but when something pointy and dangerous and on fire is coming my direction, that's when I need to place my faith in something much greater than me. It's about a faith in God. It's an old story I've used, but cowboys and Indians, you know, they'd fight one another, and the Indians would start to attack, and they would set those arrows on fire, and they would shoot them on the wagons of the cowboys, because the Indians knew this. They knew that the cowboys could not fight Indians and fire at the same time. And they would almost always win. The enemy is going to try to point some fiery darts your way because he knows that we, in the same way, we get so busy trying to fight this battle and that battle, and we're trying to put fires out, that in the middle we're making poor choices and maybe don't even realize it. And God says, the shield of faith will protect you from all of those fiery darts. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 with me. And let's read this one together. I love this verse. Ready? Go. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Boom, right there. Our faith. It's that powerful. It's not that our faith is powerful. It's our faith in God. It's the fact that God is all powerful. 1 John 5, 4 says, power comes by faith. So no matter what you're going through, joblessness, loss of finance, your mind, your thoughts, addictions, emotional depression, relationship problems, sin, temptation, whatever the fire, wherever the fire is to be, he says, faith can put it out. Pastor, are you serious? I'm fighting an addiction and I don't know what to do about it. Place your faith in God and it will extinguish that fiery arrow. Will it do it right now? Maybe. Maybe you got to cooperate with that process. Well, I'm having a problem with giving or serving or tithing or surrendering or what, fill in the blank. He simply says that when you bring it to me, whatever it is that's coming at you, I'll put it out. Because my faith is greater than all of that. You know, if you saw a weightlifter lift 5,000 pounds, kind of like I do, right? Put it in the air. He drops that. And then he walks over to a 100-pound dumbbell. Do we really have to have that much faith that he can lift it? No. He just lifted 5,000. A 100-pound weight's going to be no problem. Well, on the cross, Jesus handled all the sin of the world. Took care of it. So we now have victory through Christ our Lord. And he had this, he died on the cross for all sin, for all people, for all time. So if he can handle the sins for all people, for all times, then let me ask you, what again was the problem that you were struggling with? You know, what was the thing that you were like, you know, I'm never going to make it through this? You can make it. You will make it. But you got to place your faith in God. You place it in your own hands. You place it in your, I mean this nicely, your spouse's hands, your parents' hands, whatever. Counsel, wise counsel is good. But God's got something he wants to speak to you directly. You're going through a difficult time. God says, I've got a shield that will protect you. I'll close with this. 1996, we had the Olympics. The Summer Olympics were going on. We were actually in Bible college at that time. So that put the Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia. And we had a group that would go there and serve. You know, it was part of their ministry, outreach, whatever. And they had the opportunity to go there. And in this particular summer, there was a girl by the name of Carrie Struggs. And I don't know if you remember that name at all. But she just had what I thought was a neat story. She was a gymnast. So I don't know exactly what event she was doing, but I know she did a lot of tumbling and somersaults. And, you know, you watch the Summer Olympics, you see how they do all that. Jumping in the air and bending ways that I could never bend, but maybe once, right? And she had to do a routine. And right before her final routine, she twisted her ankle. And she was so distraught, you know. She had worked so hard to get to this place, and now we're down to the finals or the last day or whatever it was, and she twisted her ankle, and she was debating whether she could fight through this or whether she was going to have to give up, and she was struggling. And at that moment, she looked across the mat, and she saw her coach over in the corner, and her coach just looked at her and said, look at me. Look at me, Carrie. Look at me. And she started to look down. Don't look at your ankle. Look at me. And he kept saying, look at me. Do not look at your ankle. You look at me. You can do this. You've got this. And she said, but my ankle, it hurts. I know it hurts right now, but you got this. Look at me. Don't take your eyes off of me. And so she got up there and she decided she was going to attempt it. She got together and she did her whole little flip and turn and all that stuff. And she landed, boom, both feet. Got a great score. USA won. And she thought, afterwards, they had an interview with her. And they said, we understand that you twisted your ankle in that. How were you able to land? You know, first of all, did your ankle hurt? And she said, yes, very much so. How were you able to do that? She said, I was about to quit. I was about to give up. She said, but then I looked up and I saw my coach in the corner. And he said, look at me. Don't look at your ankle. You look at me. I'm here to tell you today that whatever it is you're going through, when you put on the armor of God, when you walk in truth and you walk in righteousness and you walk in peace, you take up the shield of faith. Don't wait for somebody else to take it up for you. You take it up. And when you do that, you look for your coach and God will always be there. Well, God, the arrows are still coming. He'll say, look at me. Look at me. Don't look at the arrows. Look at me. But God, they're everywhere. Look at me. When you take up the shield of faith, it will extinguish all the darts that the enemy throws your way. But we have to do our part. We have to take up that shield. And when you do, you'll see victory in your faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that we've already been given the victory through Christ our Savior. Jesus, I thank you that even when it looks like it's the end, you say it's the beginning. Sometimes when we think it's the beginning, you might be saying it's the end. The goal, Lord, is for us to hone in and hear you. Jesus, I pray today for each and every person that's here, whatever difficulty they're going through, whatever circumstance, that we understand the armor of God is not just some teaching from a Bible. It's not just a Sunday school lesson. It's not just something that we go through in the motions, but it's literally coming before you and walking in truth, living rightly based on that truth. And Lord, as we seek to be peaceful people, but we know that this world's going to have trials and tribulations. Teach us today what it's like to take up that shield so we can walk in your victory and not try to create our own. In Jesus' name. Amen, church.